Hello everyone! Today we're here with Joanne Amaya Cohen. Joanne is an expert herbalist and flower essence therapist, inspirational speaker, feminine embodiment mentor, and author of the upcoming book, The Healthy Feminine Leader, Alleviate Stress, Balance Your Hormones, and Tap Into Your Power. Joanne combines her expertise to help women balance their hormonal and reproductive health systems through healing their hearts and embodying their innate truth, power, and wisdom. Also working as a birth doula, childbirth educator, and midwife assistant, Joanne has supported hundreds of women to face their fears, worries, anxieties, and joys in order for them to birth themselves as mothers. Joanne has been schooled in the ways of women over the last 14 years in private practice and humbly teaches all she has learned. I asked Joanne to come here today because I've had firsthand experience with what she does, and she's incredible. I personally worked with her for several months and saw amazing changes to my health. Joanne is a master at finding the most gentle yet the most powerful methods to make women feel infinitely more healthy. If you're a woman and you're listening, I'm sure she's going to drop some knowledge that will help you immensely. And if you're a man listening, this is the kind of stuff that can help you support the women in your life big time. So Joanne, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored.
My pleasure. So the intention behind A Better Life is to show people that if they have a choice, they can choose a better life. So in that spirit, can you take a minute to share with us some of the things that you're most proud of in your life?
Sure. I mean, I love this question because I think so much of the time we end up focusing on all the things we haven't yet accomplished or completed or that we don't yet have. And so I appreciate the question of starting with our accomplishments and what we're grateful for. And just as a little side note, I have this little cough, so my voice sounds a little nasally, so just forgive me for that. So what I'm proud of. I'm proud that I'm committed to my own emotional healing, that I'm really willing to be messy and beautiful and expand more and more, even when that feels really scary. I'm proud of the incredible relationships that I have with women in my life that I call my sisters, and I've always had the most incredible women in my life. I feel really proud of that and know that they've pretty much shaped who I've become. I'm proud of my deep connection to nature and that I can communicate and connect with plant spirits and plant medicines. And gosh, I could go on and on and on. I feel really proud of the work that I do in the world. I feel so honored and so grateful that I get to support women to celebrate their wisdom and their beauty and their radiance, and that somehow not only am I working with them, but I'm also helping their children and their partners and their communities, and that hopefully I'm creating, by helping one woman, a spiral effect of helping lots of people. And I'm proud of the way that I love. I will say that too.
I'm just nodding my head to everything that you're saying, because I know that you're such a master or mistress at all of those things.
Thank you.
So I know where you are now. It's amazing. I recommend you all the time. I know that you didn't just wake up and be in this spot. I know that you've worked through things and you've worked hard to get to where you are right now. I would love if you just describe a particularly notable time that comes up for you when things kind of weren't going the way you wanted or you felt trapped. And I'd love to hear just what was going on then, what you were feeling and what it was looking like for you. Because I just want people to kind of get the feel that, you know, even if we're in an amazing spot right now, there's always things that we have to work through to get to where we are.
Yeah. Actually, I have little angel bumps all over my arms from that question, because I think it's really important. I think that we have tendencies when we look at people we really admire and respect to think that that just kind of happened, you know, and for the most part, there's lots of ebbs and flows and pulsations that bring us up and then bring us back down and bring us up. And I know for me that the second half of my 20s were really, really rough. I was at that time in a really dysfunctional relationship and I couldn't quite get myself to leave. I really, really loved this man and yet knew in my heart that my needs were never going to be met. And because of this intense back and forth that I felt and the intense emotional turmoil, I also put so much of my life on hold and also didn't really have a lot of energy to put into other parts of my life. So I was really struggling with money. I was having chronic yeast infections because the way that I look at it is because my most feminine parts were trying to communicate with me and tell me, you know, that there was a disconnect between my soul's whisperings and my actions. I also wasn't living my dharma. I wasn't growing my business. I wasn't reaching the women that I knew in my heart I was here on this planet to serve. And life felt so challenging. I mean, I felt trapped. You know, I just felt like, how is this pattern? How is this relationship, this money, this business, this my health? Like, how is everything going to shift and change? And it was really, really a big challenge and a lot of heartache and pain that I went through.
It sounds like it. How did you kind of work your way out of that?
Well, honestly, there were a couple things that happened. One is that one morning I woke up and something had really shifted inside of me. And part of that was because I had been praying and praying and praying for support from the unseen world because I just didn't feel like I could do this on my own. And I just, that one morning, I just woke up and everything, it was like I was looking at my eyes, through my eyes, everything looked different. And I had been living in Hawaii and I moved from Hawaii to Los Angeles and I started focusing on my business because something inside of me just said I had to choose me. And when I said yes to choosing myself, everything just opened. All the energies that felt stuck and stagnant and broken really, really opened.
Wow. So what happened with the guy?
So we ended our relationship and it was terrible and heartbreaking and heart-wrenching. I mean, I'm not sure if I've ever gone through that level of heartache in my life. And yet I knew that it was a must, you know, that whatever I was feeling and however uncomfortable the pain in my heart was, I also knew that it had to happen. And it was a really long journey of my healing. And I had a lot of books that I read and a lot of friends who helped me and my own tools that I use. And it took me a long while to end that relationship and find myself again and find my money and my work and my health. And it was a beautiful, beautiful journey in the pain and the opening.
So that's amazing that you were just praying and praying and all of a sudden you just, not all of a sudden, but you just had this, I choose me. You decided to move to LA.
Yeah.
What did it look like when you first got there? Because you said you didn't have much money at the time. So was it like, was there initial kind of working out all the kinks with trying to figure out money and stuff? Or was it kind of effortless once you got there?
You know, the reason I moved to LA was because I had an astrologer years before tell me that it was a good place to live. Because in the moment in Hawaii, I just felt like, where am I going to go? You know, what is about to happen? And so I had one friend in Los Angeles, a friend of mine who I went to college with, and her, it was all just very, you know, beautifully synchronistic. Her roommate was actually leaving for 3 months. And so I moved in with her. And so I felt like I had family and I had somebody that I really knew and loved because I didn't know anyone else in Los Angeles. I allowed myself to have a lot of time to heal. I mean, I was definitely crumpled on the floor at times, crying and, you know, having friends rub me and give me hugs and, you know, really love me up. And then at a certain point, I just really started to ask myself what it is that I wanted, what it is that I really wanted my life to look like. And for me, the biggest momentum for me and the foundation from which I come from is emotional freedom. You know, how can I live in this moment and make choices from this moment rather than based on any pains and hurts from the past? And in order to do that, you need a lot of courage. And so I really practiced harnessing my courage every single day. You know, what in this moment feels courageous? What do I want my life to look like? How can I harness my courage? How can I be free? How can I be me? You know, always coming back to that place. And things just really opened up for me here. You know, so I don't know if it was my astrology, you know, that woman had told me years ago to move here, or if it was choosing me and in that moment creating space for things to open. But I was a birth doula at that time and just started getting a lot of jobs and meeting people and there was this incredible, incredible ease. I mean, I still talk to people about this because it was in comparison to the stuck and the sadness that I had been feeling for so long in my relationship and in Hawaii, there was so much ease when I got to Los Angeles, which just affirmed everything for me.
Yeah. And so when you were kind of telling yourself, what do I want my life to look like? How specific were you getting? Like, did you have a list about it? Was it something that you put in your mind? And what kind of, if you remember, like what kind of things were in that picture?
Well, one of the biggest pieces was I felt like I really needed to create financial abundance for myself. You know, I had moved somewhere new. I was, you know, had to buy a car. I had left my car in Hawaii because I kind of just left. And so there was a lot of me that was just visioning my life of what kind of money do I need to make right now? And so I just spent a lot of time creating connections and meeting people. And like I said, there was a lot of ease for me getting doula jobs. And then there was also, you know, ways of practices that I did, whether they were visualization practices or sometimes I would do journaling practices of how do I really want to feel? Because for so long I had overridden my body's feelings, like a lot of us do. It's like we get an intuition or we feel uncomfortable around somebody or our energy falls when we're around somebody, but we kind of just say, oh, never mind that. I'm just going to keep doing this thing. And I realized that I had been doing that for a long time. I mean, probably started in my teenage years. And so a lot of my practice at that time and still is like, how do I want my life to feel? How do I want to feel in my life? And over time, once I got, you know, ready to get back into a new relationship, that's when the lists came and I started writing lists of who this man was that I wanted to find. But before then, it was just more of creating the space and the container for the visioning and feelings to come through.
Yeah, I think that feeling thing, it just keeps coming up. It's so powerful to just focus on what we want to feel and then let the how show up. And so I'm curious, so you decided you wanted to feel abundant was one of the things, and you were noticing there were people that you felt energy kind of down from. And if you were kind of with somebody and you were feeling like you were energetically feeling less than around them, how would you handle that? Did you say something to them? Did you just stop kind of seeing them? I think a lot of people could learn a lot from this.
Yeah, well, this is where our boundaries come into play. And I've had to learn a lot about boundaries because of my patterns of overgiving or caretaking others. And truthfully, a lot of this healing for me has come through taking flower essences. And there was just a point where, again, I know it sounds somewhat simplistic, but where I kept reminding myself that I was choosing me. And this was really hard because for somebody who has tendencies towards caretaking others at the expense of ourselves, to create a boundary brings up a lot of guilt and feeling like we're letting somebody down and it questions our self-worth. And so, you know, just creating a boundary isn't as simple as creating a boundary. There's a lot of factors that go into it, and a lot of our patterns and beliefs about ourselves and about the world come into play. But I remember at one point when I was really working on my boundaries, almost making a game of it for myself because it was so uncomfortable to, you know, say, no, I can't hang out with that person right now, or no, I actually can't help you with that project, or even something as simple as, no, I actually don't want to eat at that restaurant. That's small, but it can still be hard, especially for women, to speak our truths. So I would just give myself like little practices every day or little games. And so if I was around somebody who I felt like, ooh, I think my energy doesn't feel so good, then I would just say, like, let's say, for example, I was out with a friend for lunch and I could start to feel in my body this sense of exhaustion or uncomfortability or perhaps even anxiety. I would say, oh, you know, I have to be somewhere at 2 o'clock. You know, so I would cut off the time period instead of leaving it open-ended. So I would just practice these ways of creating healthy and appropriate boundaries, because healthy and appropriate boundaries are really important for us. And it's not to say that you have to be mean or put somebody else down. It's really about taking care of yourself and what it is that you need in order to flourish, in order to feel really good. And so I would create these games, but honestly, flower essences were my biggest tool for creating boundaries.
Yeah, I know it might sound crazy, but it's true. Joanne actually sent me flower essences when we were working together, and it's amazing the results that I would feel from them. Is just basically there's medicinal properties in them. You've heard, I'm sure, of taking herbs. The same thing with flowers. You can just get these amazing medicinal results by taking them, and I would definitely feel different after. Like Joanne would send me these custom formulas, and they're just amazing. So did you take things that were specifically for boundaries?
Yeah, so there's a great flower essence called Motherwort, which is really good for boundaries. But the thing about this specific topic is that it usually comes from somewhere, right? It's usually we have boundary issues because at some point they were crossed or manipulated or violated in some way. So the biggest thing when you're trying to create boundaries is also cultivating why they need to strengthen, you know, where that wounding occurred. So there were other flower essences for me that I would use so that I wouldn't fall into the pattern of caretaking others, putting others' needs before my needs. So caretaking others can be really beautiful. You know, we like taking care of people we love. It's when it crosses that super teeny tiny fine line and goes into being unhealthy for us. So there were flower essences like Sunray Lily and Missouri Primrose for self-worth and deservability that I took. So it's kind of important for us to know the full picture of why are our boundaries being blurry in the first place. And then there's tons of flower essences that can help to not only strengthen our boundaries, but heal the things that have created the dysfunction or imbalance in the first place.
Yeah, that's a really great point. So I'm curious, when you were setting your boundaries and you were kind of making it a game for yourself and add some joy to it, how were people responding around you?
You know, it's a little bit tricky depending on who the person is. Like, for example, when I first started making stronger boundaries with my dad, there was a little bit of a push and pull, you know, because you're changing the dynamics and the roles that have been set up for years and years and years and years. There's usually a little pushback or a push forward from the person that you're trying to set the boundaries with, like, hey, wait a second. And if you can stick with it, though, and you can stay strong, then the other person eventually starts to get comfortable with this new way of being. But what happens for a lot of us is we give in to the other person, and so things don't stay strong. And I think the other thing is I actually had a lot of compliments from people. They were like, wow, you have really good boundaries. But it wasn't in a way of like being rigid. It just was in a way of I take care of myself. I am taking care of me. My freedom, my health, my pleasure, my autonomy is mine. And needs to be protected and cared for just as you would with your favorite niece or plant or child, you know, that we need that same curation in ourselves. And so for some people, it was a little bit harder, and those were more of my intimate relationships. And for other people, I got a lot of validation and compliment from people.
One of the things that I think is really helpful is, and I originally, Tim Ferriss had been talking about it, how if you're considering a new way of being, to kind of consider like the worst case scenario. So not in a space of being negative, but just from a space of let's kind of think this out. So if you wouldn't mind, I would love to hear just like one of the things maybe that you've decided to set a boundary on with your dad and how he responded and how you got through it. I think that would be really helpful for people.
One of the things with my dad was that he would call me every single day, and I had somehow become his confidant. And it was actually really taxing. I would have a lot of anxiety about what he was going to share with me sometimes. And so one of the simplest steps is that, and I've actually shared this with my clients who have similar issues with either mother or father. So what I did with him is instead of talking to him every day in the beginning, I would talk to him every 3 days. So if he called, I just wouldn't answer the phone. And I'd call him when I felt like I needed to call him. And I would stay on the phone with him for as long as it felt in my body okay. And as soon as I felt like he was oversharing with me or that I was going to start to take care of him, I would say, I have to get off the phone now. Mm-hmm. And this was 8 or 9 years ago. So now we talk once a week. I'm very mindful of how long I can be on the phone with him. But our relationship has really shifted in the last 9 years as I've been really devoted to my own inner exploration and what makes me feel safe. That's something really simple. And I mean, honestly, I hear this story so much with my clients. You know, my mom calls every day and I don't feel good after I talk to her, but I don't feel like I can not talk to her, you know? And so one of the simplest things is just stretching out the amount of time between conversations. This isn't about saying that you're never going to talk to that person ever again. They're your parent. You love them. It's about switching out of patterns that don't serve you.
That makes sense. So you never felt like you had to say, like, Dad, I feel like you're oversharing, or Dad, you're calling too much. You just simply stopped kind of engaging in what you didn't like to do.
Well, we actually did have one conversation. You know, I don't live in the same state as my parents. And so I remember one summer being in person with him. We were out to dinner and he started oversharing. And I just said, and it was really hard for me, really hard. I mean, I had tears in my eyes. I was completely uncomfortable. And I said, I can't be that person that you share this with. I couldn't actually say much more because I was on the verge of crying. And that's why it was also that simple. But he looked at me and it was like the first time that I felt like, oh, he just got it. He just really understood that there was some boundaries that were actually being very blurred. I just needed to say it. It's kind of that, again, that other simplistic place of we are so scared of speaking our truth for the potential that somebody might say no or asking for our needs to be met because somebody might say no. But if we don't ask, we don't know.
That's a great point. How do you think that men can support the women that are exercising boundaries and trying them out?
That is such a good question. Well, I guess if you're in an intimate relationship with this woman and she's coming to you saying, I'm really wanting to work on my boundaries, then hopefully there would be a clear communication and respectfulness, being mindful of what her boundaries are. So if she says no, even if it hurts your feelings or you take it personally, remembering that she's asserting her will and asserting her authority, which maybe she's never done before. And so you get to be a part of and a real safe haven for her to actually practice setting boundaries. So one incredible thing about doing this with your partners or in partnership is having somebody that you feel really safe to just practice at first with your boundaries.
That's great. I think that's going to help a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, it's to have somebody that can be supportive of you when you're trying to change yourself and change your behaviors is probably, I don't know, it's one of the most helpful things that I've had in my life. Somebody cheering me on, saying, you can do it. You're doing amazing. You're changing. I'm seeing how you're changing. I know this is hard for you. You know, just somebody who's being your greatest support.
Yeah. You know, every single podcast that I've done so far, I know that I'm sure there are some people that are not like this, but every single one I've done so far, people were talking about support and how helpful it is to be able to surround yourself with people who can support you. And like I said, maybe there's some people that are like this, but I think the gross majority of people, we just flourish when we're being encouraged.
Exactly. And like you're talking about, you know, how to create a better life. And so much of the reason why we don't create a better life is because of these conditionings that we have about like what's appropriate and what we should do. The only way to break out of that and to really create this epic life is by having other people who are just like, yes, I will rise with you. I will stand with you. I will hold you accountable. I want you to live your most incredible dreams. And We need that support.
Now, for people listening who maybe don't have a significant other or they don't feel like they have support right now, do you have any ways that you would suggest them getting that support?
I mean, if you have, for women listening, I think one of the best things can sometimes be your dearest friend, your dearest sister, who maybe you've known for many, many years. I would call on her to help you. I mean, I think, as you know, the biggest things that keep us moving forward is support and accountability and motivation. And so maybe just taking a moment to look at your life and look at the people that you surround yourself with and who could help support that, the support, the accountability, and the motivation. Because as you're moving towards co-creating your ideal life or your most beautiful life, there's going to be walls that you hit, whether they're internal walls or external walls, and you're going to need somebody who can help you dust yourself off and get back towards your desires. And of course, then there's tons of other people that you can hire and mentor you and walk with you. So it also depends on what somebody's looking for.
I think you bring up some really great points. And even for men, I mean, you could go to your brothers, your friends, and ask. And
of course.
Yeah. And if you're in this, like if you're kind of going through the people in your life, you're thinking, ugh, like none of those people would understand. I think that's one of the greatest beauties about the time that we live in now. There's so many just forums and Facebook groups and all kinds of communities, meetup groups where you can go and be with people that are interested in the type of thing that you're interested in. Just, I mean, I don't think it's ever been easier to create communities for growth.
It's true, you know, and I actually heard this person speak once at a conference and he said something so simple. He said, you know, if there's somebody who's living a life that you admire and you like from where you are now to where you want to be, they feels like you could learn a lot from that person. Like you said, go onto a forum and send them a little email or send them a message and say, hey, you know, I so appreciate you and it looks like you're living your life. Do you have 5 or 10 minutes to chat? And you never know what happens.
That's a really good point. I mean, like you were saying before, the answer might be no, but it also might be yes, and you don't
exactly. You don't know until you ask. Yeah, and I don't know. When I heard him say that, I thought, oh yeah, you know, there's a way in which I do this. I'll look at somebody I admire and think, oh, I can't possibly email them or contact them. They don't have time for me. They don't. You know, I just go into my own mental chatter. And then I've taken the option completely off the plate. And who knows what they might have said.
Even if they don't do it, like I think just using of the courage to try and do it, that'll make you feel better.
Exactly. Exactly.
From where you were in your, you know, second half of your 20s to where you are now, you've obviously made leaps and bounds in your growth. I'm curious if you could kind of whittle it down to like a couple mindsets or choices that helped shape your new decisions. So I know one of them that you said is just, you say, it's all about me. Like, I'm going to make decisions based on me and how you feel. Like, are there other things that you told or believed about yourself to get to where you are now?
Well, the other piece, which I really touched on, is my why. My reason I do everything is for my emotional freedom. Because when I'm free, then I get to be me. Like, the truth of me, not the truth of me based on societal conditionings or limiting beliefs. So I always come back to when I'm making a choice, is this aligned with my truth? Is this aligned with freedom? And the other place that I'm constantly coming back to is courage. I mean, that is, we need courage for everything. We need courage to get up in the day. We need courage to speak to our bosses, to speak to our partners, to dive deep into our deepest desires. I mean, courage is my guidepost. I talk to her every day. You know, it's just like, what do I need to believe to be true to be courageous? A lot of times what I need to believe to be true is that I'm worth it and I'm worthy and I deserve whatever it is that I'm desiring in that moment.
I think you just made such an awesome point. I talk about this all the time, is just like asking yourself the right questions.
Yeah.
And I love that you ask yourself, like if you're in this period where you're not sure what you, like if you're feeling scared about doing something, what do I need to be true in order to feel courageous? And then your brain just starts coming up with the answers, huh?
Yeah. And sometimes I don't have answers. I mean, sometimes it's like, oh yeah, okay, I need to do that. And sometimes it's like, I actually just don't know. And the courage is in the unknowing, or the courage is in just like the sitting and listening and see if I get any guidance from spirit. You know, that's courage as well.
That's something that I adore about you, is that you're very, very gentle and you don't try and push things at all. And I think probably everyone who knows you really appreciates that about you.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to start asking around.
You know, it's great. Is that something that you tell your clients as well? Like, don't make immediate decisions if you don't get a clear answer?